It's good to see you today. I'm going to take them off so I can see. That fell flat straight away. We better get to the serious stuff. My name is Mark, for those that don't know. I'm the community worker. I work alongside Andy, our pastor. And I've been blessed with a very great privilege to be able to share God's word this morning. So here it goes. Hurricane Iniki was the most powerful storm ever to have hit Hawaii. More precisely, to have hit the island of Kauai. The devastating hurricane hit the island on the 11th of September 1992 with winds of over 160 miles an hour, which took roughly 12 hours to pass over this beautiful Hawaiian island. We found that the eye of the storm was as big as the island. And when the storm had moved away, I remember cautiously making our way back to this, to our hotel. And it was really, really weird, because I remember it was as if I'd woken up, I'd been asleep and I'd woken up, and I'd woken up into World War III, because all around us, buildings were smashed. Palm trees had been uprooted and thrown crisscross over the roads. It was a total scene of devastation, and it was a really scary time. And there was times when we actually thought that, oh my goodness, we'll never make it out alive. But praise the Lord, we did. The hotel in which we were staying didn't fare so well, though. And apparently it's still not reopened, even after all those years. Now, the hotel was on the coastline, so it not only felt the power, the strength of the wind pounding it, but also the waves as they come crashing in. Now, this was a storm that happened very publicly and was reported through worldwide media. And yet today, we're going to be looking at a storm that is very different, more private, more personal, where Jesus had left the crowds once again to meet up with his disciples, who we find not only straining at the oars, battling against the storm in the Sea of Galilee, but also a storm in their hearts as they began to realize that Jesus truly is the Son of God. We're going to be working from John chapter 6, verse 16. So if you've got your Bibles, come with me now. We're in John chapter 6, and we're starting at verse 16. Got them up on the screen there as well for you. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off the lake, across the lake, for Capernaum. By now it was dark. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching them, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore that they were heading for. It's interesting to see where this account of Jesus walking on the water actually sits in John 6. It's right after Jesus feeding the 5,000, and then just before Jesus speaks to the crowds. And verse 26, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Jesus seems to suggest here that the crowds were only interested in what Jesus could do for their physical needs. Think of it. They were seeing Jesus, but they did not recognize him for who he really was. Their focus was not on Jesus, but on what they could get out of Jesus. Jesus had turned water into wine. He had healed their sick, fed the 5,000, and so much more. But the crowd wanted to make Jesus their king by force. A king that would not only fill their bellies, but also fight their battles while rescuing them from the Romans. They were seeing the miracles that Jesus performed, but not seeing Jesus for who he was. Yet Jesus came to do so much more. Now Jesus is clearly interested in the physical needs of the crowd as he helped them through these miraculous signs and wonders. But now he was on his way to save the disciples who were battling a storm in the middle of the sea. Not only to rescue them from their storm, but more importantly, Jesus wanted to reveal exclusively who he actually was. And he did this through this awesome demonstration of his authority over nature. Jesus walked on water. Just want you to ponder on that for a moment. Just think about that, what we're saying. Jesus walked on water. Jesus didn't take a boat. Jesus didn't swim. He walked. Now, Jesus didn't walk around the edge of the lake. Jesus walked out on the lake. And he did this so that this small group of men struggling in a boat and in fear of drowning in the middle of this huge lake would not have any doubt as to who he was. Now it's important here to get a feel for the size of the lake. We're not talking Pittsford Reservoir. It wasn't Pittsford Reservoir we're talking about. This lake was called the Sea of Galilee. So there's a bit of a clue there, the Sea of Galilee. We're talking about a big lake. John, in verse 19, states that when they had rowed 3 or 4 miles out, we're talking about a big lake. Mark's gospel actually says that they were in the middle of the lake when Jesus came to them. So here we begin to get a feel of where the disciples were, this situation that they were struggling with. The disciples were in deep water. And we know that it was dark and a strong wind had started to blow and the waters had grown rough. And this would have been a really, really scary situation as the disciples battled to keep afloat. In John's Gospel, it states that the disciples saw Jesus approaching the boat. But both in Matthew and Mark's Gospels, the disciples didn't seem to recognize who Jesus was straight away. Imagine the disciples thinking that things couldn't get any worse, and then they look up and see something that looks like a ghost walking towards them on the water. And they fall into worldly superstition and panic. And they were terrified. And they cried out in fear because they thought it was a ghost coming towards them, bringing disaster on them. But nothing could have been further from the truth. The whole point of God sending his son Jesus into this world was to save the world through him. Jesus was not only walking on the water to meet with his friends, he was going to rescue them. This, in his great wisdom, was done in an awesome display, visual display of his grace, power, and authority as Jesus walked out on the water. Now think of a moment, the disciples out in the middle of the lake, in deep waters, in the darkness and darkness of night, and fearing for their very lives, and yet they were able to see Jesus walking on the water. And for me, I don't know about you, but for me, that kind of like brought out echoes of what John said in his Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The disciples could see Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. And Jesus said these beautiful words. Just listen to this. Can you imagine hearing these words when you're in trouble? Jesus said these words. It is I. Don't be afraid. Wow. Beautiful words. But where would the disciples focus? It would seem their focus was on their problem at hand, the storm, the waves, the fear of drowning, potential disaster. In the storms of life, I wonder, how do you react in the storms of life? I wonder, where would our focus be? Would it be on the storm? Would it be on the bills that we need to pay? Would it be on the disease that's attacking our body? Or would it be on the challenges that we face at home or maybe at work? It could be that you're in a storm at this time. You sit there nicely composed, but in actual fact, what's going on inside, you might be battling away at a storm. But can I ask you, where is your focus? The words of a casting crown song brings great comfort here, as it reminds us of God's great love for us. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know that I always have and I always will. Do we know that truth for ourselves? God loves us. He loves each and every one of us. He always has and he always will. But it is so easy when we find ourselves in a storm to be fearful of what's happening and maybe what's to come, and taking your eyes off of God and focusing on the problem, on our fear. But what did Jesus say to the disciples in the storm? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Well, it's interesting here that Jesus didn't use his name. Or did he? Jesus said, "It is I." Was Jesus identifying himself here? As God did, as he spoke to Moses and said to tell the Israelites that "I am" has sent you. Was Jesus revealing his true identity exclusively to the disciples, pointing to this historical record of when God spoke to Moses? I believe he was. Think of it. Just think of it. Here was Jesus in the middle of the lake. He wasn't in the boat. He was in the middle of the lake. He was still out on the water with the disciples still in their storm. And Jesus said, "It is I. Don't be afraid. When the disciples realized that it was Jesus, the Son of God, they invited him into the boat. And verse 21, it says, immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Now it's easy to miss that, isn't it? But immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Immediately they were safe. Why were they safe? They were safe because they had invited Jesus into their boat, into their lives. Until the disciples had invited Jesus in, they continued to struggle in their storm. But as soon as they invited Jesus in, they were safe. Safe from imminent danger. And it's so easy in the middle of a storm to rely on your own strength. In the book of Jonah, we see this as the crew on the ship heading for Tarshish did everything humanly possible to survive this storm. Throwing the cargo overboard to lighten the load, bowing down to their false idols, and even trying to row back to land, and nothing worked. Nothing worked until they cried out to the Lord, the God of Jonah, who made the heavens, the sea, and the land. When they invited God into their storm, he calmed the wind and the waves, and they were safe. In this day and age, it is so easy to try and do everything humanly possible to help us in our storms. We can put our hope in false idols, such as Buddha, Muhammad, or one of the millions of Hindu gods, or maybe self-help gurus. What about money and other worldly ideas? And maybe get some short-time relief. But in our heart of hearts, we know, and some of us may have already experienced it already, we know that they will fail us at some point. But don't miss this. As we have seen through these sign miracles, Jesus is meeting the people's everyday needs, whether that's feeding them, healing them, or teaching them. And remembering that John states that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But, and this is a bit, don't miss this, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. Now, the disciples wouldn't have known this yet, but Jesus' mission was not just to save us from our earthly storms, the problems and challenges that we find ourselves here in this world. For Jesus knew that there was a bigger storm coming. Firstly, for him on the cross, but also for us when Jesus comes again. God loves us so much that he was willing to give his life, his very all, for us 2,000 years ago as he battled a mighty storm, as he took the sin and the shame on his perfect body, as God rained that sin, that shame, my sin, your shame, your sin, my shame, on his perfect body, on his beloved Son. God rained the sin of the world down on his beloved Son. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 states this, that God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took the sin of the world on himself, making a way for us to be right with God. In life, we may choose many different ways to live, but the only way to be right with God is by choosing his Son Jesus and inviting him into our lives. Sin is basically choosing your way over God's. In choosing our way over God's, we are choosing not to spend eternity with God in heaven. And in doing this, we are actively choosing hell for our eternal destination. Hell is a place that we choose when we don't choose God. Jesus wants to save us from the ultimate storm. He wants to save us from choosing hell. And the good news here is that we can do as the disciples did. We can invite Jesus into our lives, and he will help us by God's Holy Spirit to be who he wants us to be as we live our lives for him. And that's not just some earthly warranty that lasts for a year or two. God will be with us, helping us in all the storms that we may struggle in throughout our lives, with a God-ordained guarantee that one day he will come and take those who believe in him by his righteous right hand and lead them home to heaven for all eternity. I wonder, have you recognized who Jesus is yet? Have you invited Jesus into your life? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you that you are a God that absolutely and utterly loves us, each and every one of us. And Father, we just want to pray, Lord, for those storms that any one of us, maybe all of us, may be facing at this time. And we just want to pray, our Father, that, Lord, you would help us to know you in that storm with us, Lord. That you would put your arm around us and help us to know your peace in our life, in our situation, in our storm. Our Father, we thank you so much that you're a God who loves us. We thank you for our lives. And we pray, our Father, that you might help us in the days to come to overcome the challenges that we may face, those storms that we might be battling. And Lord God Almighty, will you just help us to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would save us from our storm. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.